The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
All right. Thank you, ladies, for that. That was great. Take your Bible and go back to Numbers, if you will, chapter 32, and look down in verse number 6. The Bible says, and Moses said unto the children of Gad, unto the children of Reuben, says, shall your brethren go to war, and shall you sit here? Here's the story, if you will. The Bible talks about in this particular passage that there was the 12 tribes there of Israel trying to conquer that and going to the promised land. The Bible talks about how these were those two tribes, these particular two tribes, the tribe of Gad and the tribe of Reuben, told Moses this, said, you can go, but we want to stay right here. We want to tend to our sheep, if you will. We want to live a quiet and peaceable life. And we want to take care of a cattle. And you go over and you fight, but we'll stay here. Now, by the way, Moses became quite upset with them and with their laziness and with their apathy. He became quite upset. And he said this. He said, now Moses said unto the children of Gad and unto the children of Reuben, shall your brethren go to war, and shall ye sit here? He said, it doesn't make any sense. You know, here we have labored together. Here we have strove together to be able to serve Christ and be able to do right. Now it comes another time to battle. And he said, but now you are choosing not to go while these others go. He said, why is it that you choose to sit here? Now, I want to speak this morning on don't just sit here. Don't just sit here. Here you'll see, of course, there's many things that's taking place. There's a battle that's before them. And by the way, every day of your life, you're going to fight individual battles. Every day of your life, you're going to fight battles that come your way. That's nothing surprisingly. The Bible talks about how the Apostle Paul felt a war going on inside of his own person. The Bible says that he strove or he desired to do that which was right. But then Paul, testifying about this, even he himself said, but there was times that he found himself doing wrong. And he did not want to do wrong, but he found himself doing those particular things. And there was a constant war inside of the Apostle Paul. Now, can I tell you, that war still rages inside of you. Holy Spirit says to do this, and the flesh rises up and says, no, don't do that. And the flesh rises up and says, do this. And the Holy Spirit says, no, don't do that. And so there's a battle between the two. Now, I want to speak to you about this subject matter this morning on don't just sit here. In other words, we ought to decide that there is some things that you and I ought to be able to stand for in our individual Christian life. Now, last Sunday, we celebrated prior to the fourth coming, and I asked Brother Jonathan and those that helped and did great, great work in decorating the platform for the 4th of July celebration that we had last Sunday here. Now, in so doing, I asked, why don't we just go ahead and leave it up, because it just looks so sharp. Amen. And just leave it up for a while. And so we left it up for this Sunday. But can I tell you, the stars and stripes, as far as being that which is a symbolic of freedom and symbol, if you would please, of that which is boldness and Christianity, has always been that way in the United States of America. Now, but what happens if we just sit by and let our nation be ravished, if you will, and ruined by people that have a concentration on doing wrong? What is it that we can do? I'm going to give you three statements this morning, and I hope you hang on to them, and we'll show you plenty of Bible. I think, first off, we need to be a praying Christian. Be a praying Christian. Over in Psalm 34, verse 6, the Bible says, and this is the psalmist speaking, here's what he says. He says, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. So here was a man that cried unto the Lord. Now, wait a minute, watch this, if you will. So he cried unto the Lord, and the Bible says that God heard him, first off. Second off, the Bible says that God saved him. A third off, it says that he saved him out of all of his troubles. Now, I want to testify that the same God that this poor man cried to in those days is the same God that you and I can cry to in these days. Now, I also want to tell you that the same God that you can feel comfortable in going to Him when you do have troublesome times is the same God that He felt comfortable with in going to when He had troublesome times. I want to tell you that that's the same God that answered His prayer that is the very same God that can certainly answer your prayer. In 1952, on April the 2nd, the United States Senate printed these words. It says, from the beginning of the United States of America, there has been a full recognition of the value of prayer. In the early days of the colonization of the pilgrims, frequently they engaged in prayer. When the delegates of the Constitutional Convention encountered difficulties in writing the formation of the of the Constitution of this nation, they did it with prayer. Today, both the houses and that which is the Congress open in prayer. Now, wait a minute. Why is that? Because our nation was founded on prayer. Our nation was founded on biblical principles. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14, the Bible says, if my people, the Bible says, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. And it says, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. He said, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now, God is the same God of yesteryear as the same God of today. Matter of fact, the Bible says, I am the Lord thy God, I change not. Bible says that He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so He is a God that hears and answers prayer. Moses cried unto God, and God spared Israel from judgment. Joshua cried unto God, and God made the sun and that which is the sun to stand still. Hannah prayed unto the Lord, and God gave her a baby boy. Solomon got wisdom from God, and he got wisdom from God through prayer. There was Elijah that prayed and devoured the sacrifice God did there on Mount Carmel. There was Jonah that prayed in the belly of the whale and God answered prayer. There was Elijah that prayed and great power came upon his life. There was Elisha that prayed and God gave him a double portion of the Spirit. There was Jabez that prayed and God enlarged the coast of Jabez. There was the 10 lepers that prayed and God instantly healed them. Peter prayed and Dorcas, if you would, rose up from the dead. There was the thief that prayed on the cross and God immediately saved that one. There was those that prayed for Peter to be able to be released from prison. You remember the story, and God released him from prison. There was the Philippian jailer. The door of the Philippian jailer was open. How is that? Because Paul and Silas did pray. In the early days of the church, there was men such as a George Mueller that had hundreds of, and yet even thousands later on of orphans, and he would pray, and he would testify that sometimes he would pray, and he never asked anybody for any money. He just believed that. Now, him and Moody was totally different. Moody would ask everybody for money, and George Mueller would ask nobody for money, but George Mueller would get on his knees, and he would pray to the God of heaven, and he would say, I've got all, and they'd sit down. It was amazing. You read the story. They'd sit down around the table, and they'd have no food whatsoever, no food in the pantry and no food on the property. And George Mueller would bow his head for prayer and he would thank God for the food that God was going to deliver him. And he said, it always amazed me that by the time I got done praying that there'd be a milk truck that broke down out front. There'd be a bread truck that broke down out front. Now what is that? I'm telling you, that's the same God that answered prayer yesteryear and the same God that answers prayer today. I like the story personally. I was preaching over in the Philippines and somebody said, who's your favorite missionary? And I said, well, David Brainerd has to be my favorite missionary. He was a young man and contracted tuberculosis at the age of 29 or a little bit prior to that, but died at the age of 29. And I said, he's got to be my all-time favorite missionary because he had all these adversities that came upon him, but he still served God. He still had a burden. He still had a no-quit attitude to be able to go forward and to reach those Indians for Christ, and nothing stopped him. Physically, he was hurting, and physically he was challenged, and physically he was dying. But many times you would see in his journal notes, in his private journal notes, where they were recorded about how he would head to one Indian village, and he would become so weakened by the tuberculosis that he could not stay in the saddle of the horse, and he would fall off, and only to fall on his knees and raise himself up just a wee bit to spit up blood, and would cough up that blood over and over again, and then it would pull himself. After he was there for a little bit and he retained, got some of the strength back, and he'd get back up on the horse and pull himself back up on the horse and continue to ride for miles and miles and miles to go to the next village to get off, only to preach the gospel. And every time he'd preach the gospel before that special night when he prayed all night and he asked God to fill him with his power, every time he preached the gospel, nobody gets saved. Absolutely zero. He would travel for miles on end, and he'd preach in these villages, and nobody gets saved. Then he came across this drunken man by the name of Moses, and Moses had a very tender heart. And Moses said, I'd like to travel with you. And so he took this drunk with him on the road. And Moses would travel with him from village to village, and Moses would get up after, he's always nervous, you know, and so he'd drink whiskey, and he'd get up and he'd try to interpret the scriptures for David Brainerd, and he'd stutter and stammer all over the place and could not get it out. But finally, one night, all of a sudden, he was sober enough to understand what David was saying, and he bowed his heart, received Christ as Savior, walked down the aisle. His wife got saved. She came down the aisle. David Brainerd was getting more and more sick with this dreadful disease and was becoming more and more weak with this dreadful disease. And according to the history that's written on these two gentlemen, old Brainerd get up. He'd preach for only about 15 minutes, and he had a spit tube that he kept beside his chair, and he kept that spit tube there, and he'd spit in the spit tube blood. And he'd spit in the spit tube blood. And then he'd get up and preach. He could only preach, they said, about 15 minutes. That was about it. His body would be so exhausted, he'd be so wore out, and then he'd have to go sit down. But old Moses would stand up in that pulpit. He'd continue to preach. And he continued to proclaim the riches of God's grace that is found in salvation through Jesus Christ. And they say that there was literally hundreds of Indians that got saved. Now, can I tell you this? Can I tell you, that's the God that we know. That's the God that answers prayer. That's the God that changes lives. What's going to change the country and turn our nation back to God is not a bunch of politicians. What's going to change our nation and turn it back to God is a bunch of Christians that decide to mean business with God, get along with God, pray down that which is the power of God from heaven, and pray that God would work once again in the nation that we love and cherish. There is J. Hudson Taylor, and there was Charles Finney. And they attribute the great work that God was able to do under their ministries because of prayer. There was Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln said this. He said, many times I've been forced to my knees, realizing that I simply had no other place to go. There was George Washington that was met there at the Valley Forge with a great crisis and overcame it through prayer. At the Constitutional Convention, it was Benjamin Franklin that reminded all the delegates that if we want God to protect our nation, we must first offer up daily prayers. There was Stonewall Jackson that said, I have so fixed in the habit of my mind that I never rise to drink a glass of water to my lips in the morning time until first I've lifted up my heart in thanksgiving to prayer and for the water of life. The Bible talks about different ones that have prayed, but then the Bible gives us these modern ones that have prayed too. There was John Wesley. John Wesley said, God does nothing but by prayer and everything with prayer. There was Oswald Chambers that said this. He said, prayer does not fit us for a greater work. Prayer is the greater work. Charles G. Finney said this. Effectual prayer is the prayer that attains what it seeks. Dale Moody said this. No great movement of God has ever been traced except but by that which is a kneeling figure. John R. Rice said, all my great failures have always been traced back to my failure in prayer. It was J. Hudson Taylor that said, "I must go forward on my knees." John Bunyan said, "In prayer, it is better that the heart be without words than the words without heart." John R. Rice said, "Prayer is harder when you find it hard to pray." Corrie ten Boone said this, "It is prayer in your steering wheel, not in your spare tire, that makes the distance." D.L. Moody said, "It is he who prays that stands best." Now, can I tell you, at the inauguration of that, which is George Washington, our very first president, here's what he did. After he took the oath of office, he kissed the Bible. And he said that the nation that is without God will not continue to be. Can I tell you, over in John chapter 14 and verse 13, the Bible says, "Whatsoever you ask, ask in my name, and it will that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." John chapter 14 and verse 14, the Bible says, "And if you ask anything in my name, I will do it." John chapter 15 and verse 7, the Bible says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you." 1 John chapter 3 and verse 22, the Bible says, "And whatsoever we ask, we receive," it says, "of him, because we have kept his commandments and those things that are pleasing in his sight." 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14, the Bible says, "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us." 1 John chapter 5 and verse 15, the Bible says, "And if you know that he hears us, that whatsoever we ask, we know that we have our petitions that we have desired of him." Book of Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7, the Bible says, "Ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you." And by the way, that's in what they call a perpetual state of being. What's that mean? That means you ask and you ask and you ask and you ask and you knock and you knock and you knock and you knock and you seek and you seek and you seek and you seek, and then you shall find. Then you'll get the answer. Then the door will be opened unto you. But God said it's a continuance. It's a continuum. So you don't go to God and say, "God, please answer this prayer," and then if God doesn't answer your prayer in your timetable, you give up. Don't do that. You go to God and you pray and you pray and you pray and you pray and you pray. Okay, it's like the cat scratching at the back door, the dog scratching at the back door. You're either going to do one of several things. You're going to let the dog in, let the cat in, or you're going to push it away or shoot it or something. You're going to do something. But you're going to get a response. Now, can I tell you, or it's like the little kid at Walmart. You've seen him, haven't you? The kid at Walmart, he pulls on mama's clothing and says, "Give me that toy, give me that toy, give me that toy, give me that toy, give me that toy." Like the baby that cries for the bottle and begins to cry, cry, cry. You know that baby's going to eventually get that bottle. You know, probably in our day and time, that Walmart kid that cries for that toy and it throws a fit and jumps up and down and pulls on the clothing of a mama or pulls on the clothing of a grandparent, probably more a grandparent than a mama, they will probably get the toy. Now wait a minute. Now, I'm saying that's what God expects you to do. I said that's what God expects you to do. He expects you to do that. This is not something that God says I don't expect. He expects you to do that. Don't get tired. Don't get upset with God. Don't throw in the towel and say, "Well, I tell you what, God can't answer prayer." That's his business. He does answer prayer. He's in the prayer answering business. You have a child that's wayward. You got a husband that's wayward. You got a wife that's wayward. You've got a grandchild that's wayward. You got a grandparent that's wayward. You've got children that's not in church and not serving God and not pleasing God. Hey, get on your knees and pray, and walk and pray, and lay in your bed late at night and pray and fast and ask God to change the hearts of that person. God is still God, and God can still answer prayer, and God can still come through for you. You're not supposed to throw in the towel. You're not supposed to give up. You're not supposed to be somebody that all of a sudden gets discouraged and walks away. No, I'm telling you, according to the word of God and the authority thereof, that God can hear and God can answer prayer. Amen. I'm saying this. The Bible says over in the book of 1 John, chapter 3 and verse 22, the Bible says, and whatsoever you ask, it says, we will receive because we keep his commandments and those things that are pleasing in his sight. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 15, the Bible says, and if we know that he heareth us, whatsoever we ask, the Bible says we know that we have our petitions that we have desired of him. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7, I read a moment ago, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. Matthew chapter 21 and verse 22, the Bible says, in all things whatsoever ye ask, it says, in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. James chapter 5 and verse 16, the Bible says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. James chapter 4 and verse 2, the Bible says, ye have not because ye ask not. No, I believe we ought to be able to go back in our life, and I believe we ought to be able to point things out in our life that God has answered prayer to. I believe you ought to point to them and be able to say, boy, I remember when God answered prayer. And by the way, record them. Record them. Get yourself a prayer journal and record them. And that way you can point back to it. Old David, I said in my Sunday school class, God used him to kill Goliath and he chopped off his head, and I can see him taking that head down the city streets and saying, hey, I got him, I got him. Look at this right here. But the Bible says that he took the armor of Goliath and put the armor into his tent. Now, why did he do that? He did that to help him remember the victory. The victory. There ought to be a way for you to be able to look back and say, God is good. God came through and God answered prayer. And God is the one that rescued me out of this terrible, distressful time. I'm saying, how is it that we ought not just to sit here? Statement number one, be a praying Christian. Statement number two, be a practicing Christian. You know, I've come across Christians in the latter years out knocking doors and whatnot. And they've said this. They say, well, I'm a Christian, I just don't practice. Well, you know, can I tell you, I don't know what they mean by that. I think because I'm visiting them, trying to get them in church, they're saying I don't go to church. That's what I think they're saying. But in our day and time, we need Christians that practice. Well, I love to see it, don't you? I love to see it when you go about eating somewhere and you look across the way and you see somebody that's bowed their head and they prayed for their meal. Don't you love to see that? I mean, I just think that's just as neat as all get out. I just think that is so neat. And many times I'll go over, and if it's an older couple, I'll go over, and I spend a little bit of time with them. I'll give them a gospel track, and I'll say, hey, I'm Pastor Wells. I just want to commend you. I want to commend you. Thank you so much for praying in public and not being ashamed of your God. Thank you so much for that. That means so much to me. I like it when two people, they'll be at the table and you'll see them at a restaurant somewhere, and boy, they'll hold hands across the table and they bow their head and they take their time. They take their time. And by the way, in our day and time, don't do it quick. Take your time so people can see it. You say, oh, you're just wanting us to be a public. Yeah, I am. I want you to be a public example. That's exactly right. That's what I want you to do. Be a public example. And take your time and pray and pray long enough. Now don't call out all the missionaries. Your food's going to get cold. Dear God, please bless our missionary brother in China and bless the one in Afghanistan. And dear God, please rain down the power of God upon that dear brother that is over in Russia. And you don't have to pray for all the missionaries, but pray for your food and take your time doing it. So I'm not used to doing that, preacher. Well, then go out today on purpose. Take your wife out to a restaurant on purpose. Take your kids out. And by the way, all the women ought to nod your head right about now. But take your wife out on purpose. Take your children out on purpose. Go to a restaurant somewhere and say, hey, we're going to start a brand new thing. It's called praying in public. Praying in public. You know, I think in today's society, Christians ought to act like Christians. The Bible says over in Psalm 33 and verse 12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. It says, and the people whom he have chosen to be his own inheritance. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. I said a few moments ago, when our first president, President George Washington, at his inauguration, when he was sworn into office, here's what he said, this, as he bent over and he kissed the Bible, he said this, he said, reason and experience both forbid us, this is what he said, forbid us to expect a nation, to expect that which is a national morality that can prevail in the exclusion of religious principles. And then he paused and he said this. He says, it's impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible. Thomas Jefferson said this. He said, the Bible is the cornerstone of liberty. Andrew Jackson said this. He said, the Bible, sir, is the rock on which our republic rests. Noah Webster said this. He said, my wish is not to see the Bible excluded from our schools. Noah Webster, that great, great educator. By the way, your children knew definitions and knew what words meant because of Mr. Webster. Mostly because of Mr. Webster. Now, wait a minute. Here's what he said. He said, my wish is not to see the Bible excluded from our schools, but to see it used in a system of religious immorality. He says, education is useless without the Bible. Right. Harry S. Truman said this. He said, men can build a good society only if they follow the will of the Lord. Our great nation was founded on this faith. President Ronald Reagan said this. The founding fathers believed in the faith in God. And that is the key to good people and America's becoming a great nation. Now that's what he said in his day. The Bible talks about how the Spirit of the Lord is there. And when the Spirit of the Lord is, it gives liberty. The Bible says, blessed is the nation who is the Lord. Our Lord Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And if the truth, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Abraham Lincoln said, question not, is God on our side, but rather, question, are you on God's side? I'm saying this. I'm saying that we need to be a praying Christian, practicing Christian. By the way, it's fun to practice Christianity. Did you know that? It's fun. You'll have more fun practicing Christianity than if you hide from the Lord. You'll have more fun practicing Christianity, especially in our day. You know, the Bible says where sin abound. Let me help you. You ready? Oh, preacher, I'm so fearful about the things that's happened. No, no, no. The Bible says where sin abound, grace doth much more abound. Now, wait a minute. You know, it is so fun to practice Christianity. It is so fun. It is so fun. It is so fun to get on an airplane, open your Bible up. By the way, you know I found this in our society. I find myself, when I get on an airplane, I open my Bible up, that many times more than not, I get more elbow space. I had one lady who was on the airplane with me, and I opened up my Bible, and she said, is that a Bible? I said, it is. She put the buzzer on. She hit the buzzer. And the stewardess came back, and she said, I don't want to sit beside him. Now, I did wear my deodorant, but it's because I opened the Bible. You say, well, didn't you feel bad? Not at all. I got more elbow space. Amen. I got to stretch my legs out. I got to move my arms more, and she moved. I don't know where she went, but she moved. I don't think there's any more room. She probably sat in the bathroom, but she moved. You say, I got trouble, preacher, with people cursing at work. Take your Bible and open it up, lay it on your desk. You'll be amazed it will probably cause them to curse less. And by the way, you say, that won't work. Then highlight some verses. Highlight some verses. Just lay it on your desk. Well, that won't work. You write them on a 3x5 card, and as they walk by, say, read this while you're at lunch. It'll help you clean up your life. Give them a gospel tract at lunchtime. I said at lunchtime. Yes. I said at lunchtime. Don't steal from your boss. Right. If he's paying you for 8 hours of work, you give him 8 hours of work. Amen. He didn't hire you to be the preacher. He hired you to be the workman. But during your lunch break, hey, give somebody a gospel tract and say, hey, read this. It'll help you digest stuff better. Plus, it'll show you how to go to heaven. You know, be somebody that's not ashamed of Christ. Be somebody that gets out the good word of God. I'm saying this, practice Christianity. By the way, practice Christianity when it comes to being somebody that's courteous to others. Hello? We was at this place over there, over in Addison, and Brother Jonathan called me, and Brother Jonathan and Heather were visiting with the Palmores and having good fellowship that day, and so they decided all to come to Addison, and so my son Jonathan called me, and he said, Dad, where are you at? And I said, we're down there on the Sam's parking lot, and I said, but there's a couple of spots. If you guys want to come to where we are, there's a couple of spots open. And I'll try and save a couple of spots. And so if you want to come to where we are, there's a couple of spots. Now, that was a little bit farther down than where we were, you know, about 10 spaces down or so. And so I walked down there to try and save some spots because I figured out it might work if I try and save the spots, because there was a lady right across from where we was, and she was standing right there in the spot. And man, all of a sudden, you know, people were pulling up and she would go like this. Now, I don't think I would do that. If somebody pulled up, you know, and they didn't show up on time or whatever, I would say, well, you know, if you can. But I wouldn't be mean about this. One guy started flashing his lights, and he said, move out of the way. And she said, go away. I thought, she probably does stuff in life I don't want to know about. But now, wait a minute. Courteous. You know, you can be courteous to people. You can be nice to people. You can be you don't have to be somebody that's mean. You don't have to be somebody that is just hard to get along with. Hey, you ever think about this? You ever think about when you're going to Walmart parking lot and you see an older person pull up, and you ever think about that you're younger than they are, so perhaps you need to walk more than they do, and give them your best parking lot. Not the lot, but the space. You ever think about that? Hey, you ever think about this? You young people, you ever think about opening the door for your parents? You ever think about that? You said, now you're meddling, but isn't it fun? You ever think about this? You ever think about mowing the lawn for daddy so daddy doesn't have to? You ever think about mowing the lawn for mama because mama doesn't have to? You ever think about that? You ever think about cleaning up your room? You ever think about that? I'm talking about practicing Christianity. Practicing Christianity. Hey, wife, did you ever think about preparing the meal that is your husband's favorite? Husband, have you ever thought about taking your wife out for a meal because after all, she's labored all that week doing all that she has to do in pleasing you? You ever thought about that? You ever thought about just being kind to someone? You ever thought about not talking bad about somebody on Facebook? You ever thought about maybe if you can't say something good, don't say nothing at all? You ever think about being kind to the brethren? You ever think about being kind and forgiving, loving? Oh, now it's real quiet. Statement number one, I said, by praying Christians. Statement number two, by practicing Christianity, by praying Christians. Be a praying Christian. Be a practicing Christian. Let me give you this and I'm done. And this is one of the reasons I asked them to leave the flags up. By being a patriotic Christian. By being a patriotic Christian. I visited many times, Bangkok, Thailand. I love the Thai people. And I appreciate their country. And they have a king. The king is in his late 80s now. But I love the Thai people and I love their country. I've been many, many times to Phnom Penh, Cambodia. I visited the killing fields and I preached out there in many, many country villages and many, many factories. I oftentimes, more than not, I've landed in the Philippines. I know in one church alone, I recorded that I preached over 113 times in that one pulpit. 113 times in the Philippines. So many times I've gone to the Philippines. I've been to Abuja, Nigeria, West Africa, many times, the capital of Nigeria, and I preached many times to those good pastors there, and hosted by the Truth Baptist Church, and many times. I've been to some other places, other type of countries and stuff like that, but can I tell you, there is no country like America. There's no country where you have the freedoms that you have. No countries. No country that's out there. There's no country where you have the liberty that you have to be able to be a Christian and stand up for the truth. There's no place like it. Now, I'm saying you be a patriotic Christian. Yesterday, Josh and Mindy, along with the other kids, came over to the house, and we'd gone over to, Trader's Village, and we'd gone to Trader's Village, and we walked around for about 5 hours, I think, and we walked every inch of that place. We walked every inch of it. We just covered it all. And so we went over there, and we walked around, and then we came back, and I bought a flag, and I wanted to put the flag up, and Josh came, and he decided he was going to help me put the flag up, and so he brought his drill, and he's out there putting that flag up for me and helping me. And I had Jared and I was grilling on the back side of the house, and Josh was working on the front side of the house, and so we're trying. So I had both boys in different places, you know, and one was helping me grill, and then I'd walk through the house real rapidly to get to the front to make sure the flag was going to be put where I wanted it, and then I'd leave, and I'd walk out back and make sure that the hamburgers and the hot dogs were going to be done and flipped and stuff, and we had a great time. Now, wait a minute, watch this, if you will, and boy, I'm so glad I got that up. You know, I want everybody in my neighborhood to know I'm a patriotic citizen. I want everybody to know it. Boy, I bought the biggest flag that I could buy for my house, and one of the most expensive ones I could afford, and I put it up there and got a white pole with a gold top. Not real gold, so don't come over and think you can take it and make money. It's just metal painting. But and so I got it up there, put it over top the two-car garage right dead center, and that way everybody comes. It's the highest flag on my entire street. And by the way, you say, why'd you do that? Because I wanted to. Just a sheer honest fact. I just wanted to. I want people in my neighborhood to know that I'm a proud American. All right? Now, can I tell you, be a patriotic American. Be a patriotic Christian. You be one that you're proud to be able to raise the flag. And remember that we're one nation under God. Remember that our currency says, in God we trust. And you fight to keep that the way it should be. And you don't just sit around, but you take a stand. And you speak your mind. And while you still have the opportunity, you be able to speak your mind. You think about those that are in the Arlington National Cemetery. You think about those that are represented by the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. You think about those that are on the Vietnam Wall. You think about those that have the flag draped across their caskets at the time of death that served in our military institutions. You think about those tear-stained faces of the parents and of the children that walked by because of somebody that gave their life. You think about the rifles being raised in salute, and as the tears come down the eyes of the widows as those guns are being fired off. You look at the pictures of the Marines as they're fully dressed in uniform as they salute the flag as only a Marine can do. You think about the Star Spangled Banner and America the Beautiful and the Battle Hymn of the Republic, and you think about all these things, and can I tell you, it'll make you thank God that you're an American. You be a patriotic Christian. Be a patriotic Christian. I believe that it's so important in our day that we understand that some could feel like Moses as he looked at those two tribes, the tribe of Gad, the tribe of Reuben, and as those had requests, well, we just want to stay here. We want to take it at ease in Zion. We just want to be at ease. And Moses said, why do you sit here? Now, can I say, it's not time to continue. It's not time to continue to sit. But it's time that you desire to do that which is right according to your own consciousness, awareness of the scriptural truth that lies within you because of the preaching of the Word of God, and according to your national heritage, to take your stand and let people know where you stand. I don't know about you. I sleep good at night. I tell you for sure, I sleep good at night. You know, now, and by the way, I feel good when I pass out a gospel tract. I really do. The other day, we were at a Subway, and I gave the lady a tract, and she's, oh, thank you for that. I took a stack of tracts in my back pocket to that Trader's Village thing. That's what I did. In my back pocket, had a stack full of tracts right there. I knew I was going to be walking. I wasn't going to be sitting. So that's a perfect place for them right there. And so I put them in my back pocket right there. And every single place that we visited, I talked to a merchant. I gave him a tract. And I said, I'm Pastor Wells. And by the way, read that tract, would you? And that'll show you how to go to heaven. Every place. Now, can I tell you, we ought to make sure that we just don't sit here. Father, bless, we pray.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.